His name. We're so glad to have you here this morning. It's always good to be in fellowship and in the house of the Lord. You know, you can read your Bible at home. You can do worship music at home. You can listen to preachers, TV, podcast, internet, radio, all over the place. But there's something about coming together with people. There's something about connecting with people. There's something about being in the fellowship where the anointing is flowing and moving and the presence. You know, we talk this year a lot about presence. You know, I heard a lot of conversation already. I'm not done my Christmas shopping, or I haven't started my Christmas shopping, or I'm all done mine and it's all wrapped or whatever. Well, we don't like you very much if you're right there, but I'm kidding about that a little bit. No. So we talk a lot about presence, you know, and all of that kind of thing. But I'm just going to tell you, without his presence, the most important thing in your life this season is his presence. Because we've learned a long time ago, it's not about packages, it's not about presents, it's not about all of that kind of thing. It's about the people that you love. It's about being in connection with people that you love. It's about sharing and caring. And it's about the presence of Jesus in our life. And, you know, it's been a week that a lot of our folks have walked through some difficult times and have walked through some struggles and have been in crisis and have been in need of things. But for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, our series this month has been Faith Over Fear. Anybody ever dealt with any fear in your life? And it may not just be fear that you're dealing with. It might be, you know, it might be crisis. It might be family struggles. It might be finance. It might be health issues. It might be a whole lot of things. And, you know, with that comes sometimes frustration, and it comes fear, and it comes disappointments, and it comes, you know, we grieve or we mourn or, you know, at this time of year. But there's something about knowing that the presence of the Holy Spirit is encompassed round about us. And I think about, you know, even yesterday as we were ministering to some families and things, and I think about, you know, sometimes we look at the crisis, but if our focus could ever be on the great host of heaven that's camped round about those who fear him. That's what the word says, that there's a host of heaven encamped round about those that fear the Lord. So regardless of what we see in the natural, if we can lift our eyes to the heavens and hear what the angel is saying in this season and realize there's a word from heaven that's bigger and greater than even our sorrow or our times of where we are right now. Aren't you thankful that, you know, even when we lose a loved one, it's not that God takes your loved one, it's that God receives your loved one. And that even those who die in the faith never really die, but they walk on to an eternity and into the presence of the Lord. There hasn't been a saint that's died since Calvary, I believe. We might pass from what this life seems like, but I believe the veil is a lot thinner than what we think. And that we are encompassed about this morning, even with a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on. They may not be here in person, but they are here in spirit, because the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of man, the scripture says, goes to God who gave it. And that Spirit, I believe, is ever present and ever reigning. And however you interpret that, I'll leave that up to you. But our series this week and this month has been on the Christmas story. And we've been talking about the fear nots of the Christmas story. And I love that. I don't think I've ever preached it in this way before. But when God began to speak something and was about to change the course of history and was about to transition from an old covenant to a new covenant, there had been a dark season. There had been a period of about 700 years from the prophecies of Isaiah, when he began to prophesy about a virgin that would conceive and a son that would be born, and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he began to prophesy those things, and it was 700 years before that prophecy came to pass. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus? And there's sometimes it seemed like, though his word tarry, and it seems like it might become of none effect, and it seems like it might not happen, but in the fullness of time, Galatians tells us, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. Jesus was about to come to put the curse in reverse. And so we see that there is a time and a season when all of a sudden an angel begins to show up. In other words, the heavens start to speak, or a heavenly host, or the messenger, if you would, begins to start to say some things and begins to declare some things that seem like the impossible. Anybody ever faced situations that seem like they were impossible, but God? But God. And so they were facing some circumstances and some situations that seemed impossible, that seemed outside of the realm of what could be. And God began to speak to a prophet named Zechariah. And he began to say to him, Zechariah, don't be afraid, or fear not. What I'm about to tell you is a message from heaven. And God has heard your prayers. And he's about to answer on a level that you've not ever even conceived possible in this season. For with man, what seems impossible, with God, all things are possible. And so I'm thankful this morning that we serve the God of the possible. And so he begins to speak to Zechariah, and he says to him, just to recapture a couple Sundays of what we've already done, he begins to say to him, and your wife Elizabeth, who is barren, is about to conceive a child that will be born of her, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And so in that season, and when Zechariah begins to question the angel of the Lord, he questions the angel Gabriel. And the scripture says that because you've questioned, you're not going to be able to speak for the next season until this son is born. God is going to close the mouth of Zechariah. And I believe what God is doing is silencing that priesthood from that era and from that season. Not just that he would not be able to pronounce what was happening, but how many know sometimes there's things when God starts to speak to you. And when you begin to hear from the heavens, there's things sometimes you can't articulate to people around you. I can't explain to you what's going on inside of me. I can't explain to you what I'm hearing, but I know that I'm hearing something different, and I know that I'm hearing from heaven. And so when he silenced his voice, I don't believe it's out of punishment for Zechariah. I believe it's out of a season that says, Zechariah, I don't want you to try to explain it. I don't want you to talk yourself out of it. I don't want you to go around and telling other people what you heard. I want you to ponder, as Mary did in your heart, what I'm about to say to you in this season, because I'm not even requiring you to make it happen. This thing that's going to happen is going to be because God divinely stepped into your life and change some things. How many are thankful for some divine interruptions in your life sometimes? You know, that job that you thought you wanted, only God didn't provide it and didn't make a way, and all of a sudden something else falls into place, and you say, thank you, Jesus, because there was a divine interruption. Or maybe when, you know, life circumstances happen sometimes, you say, why, Lord, and why does it go this way, and why did that have to happen? But God causes a divine interruption in your life to say, I'm about to birth something greater, something more powerful, something bigger than what you ever desired outside of this season in your life. Do you know that some of the most powerful seasons of your life are the barren seasons, when God begins to step in and say, now that we've rooted up some other things, I'm going to plant some seeds of hope. I'm going to plant some seeds that's going to bring forth a season of grace in your life. Do you know that John's name means grace? What God was about to do was birth a season of grace on all mankind, and he was going to use the womb of Elizabeth to do it. And so then the angel makes another visitation about 6 months later. The scripture says in the sixth month, when Elizabeth's about 6 months pregnant, he makes a visitation to a young lady named Mary. And they told you last week, quite possibly, Mary was probably only about 14 years old. Anybody remember your teen years in here? Nobody remembers your teen years in here. We say all the time, I thought your 60s when you retired was old. I once upon a time thought that when you were in your 60s, you were old. Now I realize how young that really is. How really young that really is. And so God began to visit a young maiden named Mary. And the angel of the Lord appears to her with a salutation that only kings received. And said, "Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women." And he began to pronounce some things on Mary's life. And Mary questions. Thank God for grace in our questions. Amen. Because I told you before, I'd probably be like Zechariah. I wouldn't have been able to speak for 9 months because I would have probably had a lot of questions. You know, there's a lot of times in our life we have questions. Why, Lord, does this happen? How can these things, what is the season of this and how does this happen? And I don't know. And God has not ever answered all of my questions because there's some things I don't need to know. You know, we were sharing a little bit last week at dinner, at lunch, and we were talking about the scriptures, and Kevin and I were talking. You know, there's some things that if God was going to tell you from the beginning, you'd probably say, not me, I'm out of here. But God tells you what you need to know for the season that you're in. How many know Mary didn't know everything that was ahead of her, but God spoke to her the information that she needed in that season of her life to get her where she needed to go to next. And really, the next step for her was get to Elizabeth. Because he said, and your cousin Elizabeth, when he begins to declare and say that you're going to have a baby and you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, the last line he says to her, which I love, is, "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's with child also, for with God all things are possible." See, I think that Mary had comfort and confidence in knowing that if God could do that in Elizabeth, then he could do that in me. And so I'm going to connect myself with somebody who makes my baby leap. I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's believing for the same things I'm believing, who doesn't understand the season they're in, but they're willing to say, "God, be it unto me according to your will. Work out your perfect will and your purpose in my life." And whatever that might be, it might cause some divine interruptions in my life. But I know that if it's your plan and it's your will for my life, you will work all things together for the good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Are there any people in here today who love God and are the called according to his purpose? I want you to know he's going to work all things together for your good. He might not have made it happen, but he can make something good out of it. There's a whole lot of things that God gets blamed for, that God allows to happen, or that God brings on people that's not God at all. It's people who do things, but God can bring something good in a season of barrenness. He can overshadow you and bring forth fruit out of a season that seemed like it was a dead season in your life. When we look around right now, it looks like a dead season. Right? You look at the trees and if you judge the trees by the season you're in, you would pronounce them as being dead because they look dead. They're not dead. They're in reserve. They're in storage mode. They're storing up for the season that they're in, but come springtime, they're about to break forth. So if you judge a oak tree by your pine tree, you will think that your oak tree is a failure. But can I just say to you, it's not an oak tree season yet, but in due season. Galatians said, but in due season. It might seem barren, it might seem dormant right now, but hang on, because in due season. And so God began to speak some things to Mary. And she said, I'm going to have to connect with Elizabeth. Because I got to find out if the same thing is happening in her that's happening in me. And if it is, then I can believe together. Pastor Josh Bunton posted something this morning on Facebook. I caught just real quick. And he said, if you're up, go out and look at the sunset. So I opened my door and went out. I couldn't see nothing but fog and rain and dreary. It didn't mean the sun didn't come up. My view was obscured at the moment. And what I wanted to do, but I run out of time, was text back and say, I don't see it. Could you tell me about yours? Because just because I don't see my sunset at the moment doesn't mean it's not there. But if you can tell me about yours, I'll enjoy yours until my season comes. There's sometimes you got to celebrate with other people until your season comes. Come on, somebody. You might be in a season where you're not seeing happen everything that you have cried out for and desired to happen. Find somebody and celebrate their season until something starts to break forth in you. And so God speaks to Mary and says, fear not, Mary. Zechariah, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear be stronger than your faith. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Faith over fear in this season. This morning I want to talk to you out of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. When God begins to speak the next, fear not. If you can bring that up for me. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. When we look at the scriptures in the Bible concerning the Christmas story, Matthew has the story that is from the father's genealogy, from the father's side of the story, from the royal lineage of David, the son of David, that the king would come out of the lineage of David. And so in Matthew, we see the lineage of David, and it ends with Joseph, and then Joseph being the father in the natural of Jesus. We know he was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. But when you go to Luke, Luke covers it from Mary's side of the story. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary, fear not, for behold, and the salutation of the Lord, and then the trip into Bethlehem and the birth of the Savior. But we see two different kind of pictures of the story, of the Christmas story this morning. And so in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I read something yesterday that said that probably Joseph was only about the age of 17, that he was probably quite the young man as well when the baby was born. Now, we don't know this information for sure, but sometimes what I loved about this was seeing a picture of the old, what God was doing with the old of Zechariah and Elizabeth, but he was also doing it in the young with Mary and Joseph. And I think it's a picture of an old covenant and a new covenant. It's an old priesthood and a new priesthood, but it's the coming together of the old and the young. See, I don't believe you ever come to a place in your life where you're too old for God to use you or too young for God to use you. But God wants to do a bringing together of the generations of the old and the young, because there's some wisdom and some experience that Zechariah and Elizabeth can share with us, but there's a new generation that's standing up as Mary does and says, Lord, I don't understand all of this, but be it unto me according to your will. If you'll trust this little teenage girl with the promise of God, then be it unto me according to your word. And so he brings together, and I love the picture of the old and the young coming together. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put it away her privily or privately. While he's pondering divorce. See, in that custom, in that culture, they are betrothed for a year. It was an engagement, it was a betrothal, but it was bound by contract that if he decided in that year he did not want to marry her, he literally had to get a writing of divorcement to put her away, and it had to be reason. But if she was found with child in that season, and it was not his child, he could have her stoned under the law because she had been unfaithful. So while Joseph is pondering what the law would decree and what the law would declare, how many know the heavens begin to talk? How many know those heavens are more powerful than what anything written on stone has ever been? And where the law wants to speak death and the old covenant and that ordinance of the law wants to speak death, how many know the heavens want to speak life and bring in a new season and usher in a new season? And while he's pondering transition, he's pondering what culture would dictate. He says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. To take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means interpreted, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised out of sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Go back to that next, go back one verse and leave it there for a moment. And so God begins to speak to Joseph and say, Joseph, fear not. See, Mary may know what's happened inside of her. She was there when the angel spoke, but Joseph was not. And there are going to be those that are not going to always understand God's call on your life. They might not always understand what God is speaking to you. They might not always understand how this is supposed to play out. But God begins to speak to Joseph, and he speaks to him four times in a dream in this portion of scripture. And what I want to say to you this morning, Joseph evidently was a dreamer. And Joseph's plans are about to be turned upside down and uprooted. But what God is saying to Joseph is, Joseph, dream again. Joseph, dream again. And God begins to speak to him in his dream. Anybody in here, God ever spoke to you in your dreams before? Yeah. See, I believe in our, even in our dreams, it's a season where God can speak and declare things to you in a season. And you know, sometimes I'll pray and say, Lord, get a hold of these people in their dreams. Show up in their dreams. Speak to something even in their night season and begin to declare your word over their life in their dreams. But I mean, no, God wants us to begin to dream again, because when things seem like they start to go awry and it seems like a divine interruption in our life, how many know God is about to direct us in another path or bring us into a season where he's going to cause us to dream again? And then he says, and Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Wake up, Joseph. Wake up to what your purpose is. Wake up to what God wants to do in this season. And he says to him, you're going to call him Jesus. I mean, no, the angel gave Joseph the right to name the baby. And we already talked about this. When Zechariah brings the baby John to the temple, and they say to him, what are we going to name the baby? And Elizabeth says, we're going to name him John. And they look at Zechariah and say, there's no family name. What are you going to name your baby? He says, he gets a writing tablet. And he said, his name is going to be John. Because see, here's the deal. When God starts to birth something in you, don't let anybody else name your baby. Don't let anybody else interfere in the plan and purpose of God in you. You call it what God calls it. You call it a season of God doing the miraculous. And see, the name Jesus means God's salvation, or God is salvation. But how many know salvation through grace is about to be delivered? Salvation and grace is about to be delivered. Can somebody say thank you, Jesus, today that we live in a season of salvation through grace? What grace ushered in was a season of salvation. And Joseph, you call that baby Jesus. Don't you call him Joseph. Don't you call him after any other lineage. You call him Jesus. You name that baby what I name that baby, because you're about to see a season of grace through salvation. It wasn't Zachariah Jr. It wasn't Joseph Jr. It was divine and it was heavenly. It was John, whose name means grace, ushering in salvation, whose name Jesus means God is salvation. And the second dream for Joseph was in Matthew 2, I believe verse 13. I was going to say I can't see, but I got my glasses on my head. Yeah, 60s looks younger all the time. And it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord, what? Appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. You know, there's sometimes I think that when we're awake in the physical form, we're asleep in the spirit. And I think there's sometimes when we're asleep in the spirit or in the natural, we're awakened in the spirit. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but how many know sometimes if we'll posture ourselves in a posture of rest and allow God to cause us to dream again? When I thought about this scripture, well, let me go on and read these before I give you my punchline, but he speaks to him, he speaks to the father, he speaks to Joseph and says, go to Egypt because Herod seeks to destroy the promise of God in your life. How many know there will always be somebody who wants to destroy the promise of God in your life or talk you out of your blessing? Tell you all the reasons why it can't happen. See, I think the reason that Zechariah was silenced is so that everybody else didn't have an opinion. Nor could he have an opinion to talk them out of it. There's sometimes you just in your silence have to say, Lord, your will be done. The third dream, Matthew 2 and 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. You have the next verse. I probably didn't give that to you. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. God began to speak to Joseph after they were in a season in Egypt. He said, you're going to have to go to Egypt because Herod seeks the life of the baby. When he gets in Egypt, God begins to speak again in his dreams and said, Herod is dead. What tried to destroy you has been destroyed. And you know, we said before, and you've heard Lynn share this and we've shared it. When God begins to speak to Mary, he said, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. But favor doesn't always look like favor. How many know when favor interrupts your wedding plans, it might not look like favor? When favor sends you down to Egypt because Herod's trying to destroy you, favor doesn't look like favor. When you've got to run for the child's life, favor doesn't always look like favor. And you know, when Elizabeth, when the angel came and appeared to Gideon, hiding wheat by the wine press, he said, hail thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And Gideon doesn't miss a beat. He said, if the Lord's with me, then where be all his miracles? You ever been there? Hail thou who art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Hail thou mighty man of valor. He said, if the Lord's with me, where be all his miracles? What he didn't realize was the miracle was in Gideon. Because what he does, he said, Gideon, I'm about to take you down to 300 men, a trumpet, a candle, and a pitcher, and I'm about to show you the miracles of God in your life. See, you'll start to question sometime in your season when it seems like barrenness. But what he really wants to do is stir up the miracle worker, the miracles that are inside of you. And so he begins to speak again, and he says, what tried to destroy you has been destroyed.
It's about when we're in our darkest hour and we're asking God to talk to us, and it seems like he's not. And sometimes we're shattered and we're down to dust. But what the potter does with dust is he adds a little water and he makes it into clay. And then he forms something new. And once he forms something new, then it still has to go through fire. But when he's done, there's something beautiful. And I think that sometimes when we're in these hours where we're saying, God, where are you? And he's saying, fear not, fear not, fear not. We feel like we're shattered and we feel like we're dust and everything that we were is not what we are now. But if we hold on through the fire, if we hold on until it's done, the shattering makes something new. And I feel like, you know, like that's what they were doing here is they're still saying, okay, God, you know, like you said, you're doing something. Where is it? It's just the process. They had to just hold on through the process and fear not because, yeah, they were in the fire, but something new was coming.
And it's in those seasons that you hold on and know that I heard from God. I know that the heavens are speaking. I know that I don't stand in this alone. Amen. That God is doing something.
God did close our mouth because we could talk ourselves out of the blessing, you know, because it seems so astronomical or so overwhelming, you can't believe it, you know, and you can talk yourself out of it. But if you're like my honey, you couldn't talk him out of something once he said God told him. I mean, he was just dead set on doing whatever God said for him to do, even if it seemed impossible. And then I just really started to ponder on the scripture. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And, you know, when we learn that it's not by our might, but it's by his might, it's by his spirit that we move and have our being, you know. It's not in it. The thing of it is we think we have to perform or we have to do it. But all we got to do is trust God and let him do it. And, you know, there's many times whenever I've stood before congregation and I've thought, God, I don't know what you want me to say today. You didn't tell me this week, you know. But all of a sudden, God just, it just kicks in and God begins to speak. And I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of the blessing of God. You know, I've been in this season where I've been in so much pain. And I said, told God one day, I said, God, you said the healing was the children's bread, and I wouldn't mind having my slice, you know. But I don't understand why, because I know God can heal. He's healed me before, and three times he showed me in a dream as a child running through a field of flowers. And I thought, Lord, if that means that I don't walk till I get to heaven, I'll be satisfied. Just sit here in this chair. I'll be okay. You just let me be. But I just praise God that, you know, sometimes we hear, but we don't believe, you know. Some people think you don't get called because you can't drive. But, you know, we can prove that wrong, too. Only Sister Jenny and I know that secret. But anyway, I praise God for what he's done in my own life. And I know that sometimes God will shut up your mouth because even if you don't understand, other people don't understand either. Just better just keep quiet and let God do it and get over with it.
Right. Sometimes we try to add to or take away from what the word of the Lord is when sometimes we just need to be still and know that he is God. And in Matthew 2, and did we read this one? And he rose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when Herod heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city named called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Fourth time, God speaks to Joseph again in a dream and says, now it's time to go back to Nazareth. And all along, every step of the way, God is fulfilling the word of the prophet. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be called a Nazarene. My servant have I protected in Egypt. And God is fulfilling the promises all along the way through Joseph and his obedience to the word. So I believe it's a time to dream again. It's a time to awaken to the promises of God in our life, to know what he's sharing, to know what he is speaking. And don't let fear destroy your dreams. Don't let fear rob you of the future that God has provided for you. Sometimes I think you got to pray over your loved ones and say, God, speak to them in their dreams. If they don't hear while they're awake, speak to them in their dreams. Speak to them in the quiet season. But I thought about it's talking about Joseph and being the dreamer. How many know there was another Joseph who was a dreamer? And he began to dream a dream, and it seemed so far out there. And his brothers would say, when he would begin to share his, the problem with Joseph is he shared his dream with his brothers and his father, but they didn't understand his dream. And because they didn't understand his dream, you know the story, they sold him to the Midianites. And he came into the house of Potiphar, and he was false accused in Potiphar's house, and then he's thrown in the prison, and everybody else in the prison's having dreams. But Joseph's dream's not come to pass. And while he's in the prison house, he interprets the dream of the baker and the butler. And I always want to say the candlestick maker. The butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. He was probably in there too. But so while he's interpreting everybody else's dream, still his dream has not come to pass and his dream has not been fulfilled. Remember, I said sometimes you got to celebrate with those until your season comes. But there would come a day when his brethren would come back and bow down before him, and Joseph stands second in command to Pharaoh. He has command of anything in the kingdom that he wants. He's got Pharaoh's chariots, he's got the robes, he's got the look, he's got position, but he's not yet had the fulfillment of his dream. But there would come a day when his father and his brethren, remember the dream is I saw the sheaves bow down. There would come a day when his father and his brethren would come and bow down before him that he might be a savior to them. I mean, no, God's purpose in both Josephs was to raise up a savior. And when they would come and bow down to him, the scripture says Joseph has to turn himself aside and weep. And I don't think he's weeping for just what he had lost in his life. I think there's something about that moment that hits Joseph and said, that's the dream. And today my dream has come to pass. The weeping comes not in regrets. The weeping comes in the rejoicing that says, thank you, Lord, because you have fulfilled the promise of God. The day I dreamed it, you never forsake me. It didn't always look like favor in the pit. It didn't look like favor in Potiphar's house, and it didn't look like favor in the prison. But the moment would come when the dream was fulfilled, and he would stand there and weep and said, God, you are faithful to your servant Joseph, and the promise is fulfilled. We can stand in this season, and what I want to say to you today is dream again. And even in the midst of your dreams, when it seems like it doesn't go the way you thought, it's still favor. You still have favor. You still have the host of heaven. You still have the angelic host, the angel Gabriel, that's pronouncing over you, fear not, for behold. Fear not to take Mary. Fear not, for that thing which is going to be done is not going to be done, Pastor Shirley just told you, out of your own efforts, out of your own strength, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that can cause you to be awakened to God's promise and to cause you to dream again? And fear has no hold on your dreams when God declares from the heavens good news. Amen. Stand with me today as Beth is coming to sing. Faith over fear. Let your faith be bigger than your fear today. And let God awaken the dreams in your heart to bring to pass his promise in your life.